Welcome along to this elective from Men Meeting the Challenge, and really exciting today. We've got Grant Borg. He's a pastor with MBM in the southwest of Western Sydney, and he's going to be talking to us about how to effectively communicate Christ to our friends, our neighbours, our workmates. It's going to be really good. And hey, why don't I pray that ripples from today might be that our mates might come to know and trust and love the Lord Jesus. Our Father God, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given Grant, and we pray that this session might be really helpful for each of us as we try to communicate with the people that we really love, that you might use us to see them saved. And we pray that in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Well, God says that the good news about Jesus is the power of God, because when people believe it, they become something supernatural. And that good news is what the Bible calls the gospel. The gospel, the good news, that in the beginning, God created all things, and he created them good. But we came along and chose to do our own thing, which brought everything down, in a sense brought death and judgment for us humans. But God didn't leave us in that state. He had a plan, which culminated in him coming in the person of the Lord Jesus, who came and lived the perfect life that we should have lived. And then he died on the cross for our sin and rose from the dead, defeating death. And then Jesus told his apostles to go out with this good news that anyone who trusted in him and expressed their trust in him by following him would receive forgiveness and eternal life. Now, if that's happened to you, that's great. Otherwise, everything that I've just said may as well have been spoken in another language. And all that goes to say, if we're going to be talking to people about Jesus and be as effective as we can, we need God's Spirit to speak through us to open up people's hearts and minds. And that can only happen as we trust our plans and our efforts to God in prayer. Now, we could spend the next 20 minutes just fleshing out the importance of prayer in all of this, but let's just say that everything that I'm about to say needs to be considered and applied carefully and prayerfully, just as I did this morning in preparation for this talk. Now, once we understand that, the question then becomes, how do we talk to people about spiritual things in a world that cannot even comprehend beyond the physical? And I'm going to suggest we think about three things. The first is the point that clarity is king. The second point is you're often only as good as your church. And thirdly, we'll look at how to get a person along the church. But firstly, clarity is king. This is just really prioritizing the place of clarity as we speak to people about Jesus. And as we do talk about him, this point cannot be stressed with any more importance than what it really needs. Most of the time, I believe people fail to get the good news of Jesus across because they confuse things which could very easily be explained in ways that people would be able to comprehend. And so here's a tip. If you're trying to talk to someone about Jesus or anything that he's maybe done in your life, and you need to use a word that's got more than four syllables in it, I reckon it's a word that could be explained in a way that'll make it easier for people to comprehend. So words like evangelism, justification, glorification, unless you're talking to a thesaurus or even a seasoned brother or sister in Christ, all these terms will only serve to muddy the water. Even words that aren't quite so nerdy, like gospel, salvation, even resurrection, they're all words that regular people don't understand, or at the very least are words that have such a religious veneer that it's hard to understand the meaning behind them. And they can easily be translated. And so I want to encourage you, when you think about using the word gospel, just talk about good news. If you're going to use the word salvation, just talk about what God has done to rescue you from death. If you want to talk about resurrection, just talk about the fact that Jesus came back to life. Because I'm sure you'll remember what it was like first coming into a church and hearing people talk about their quiet times, hearing them explaining events that have happened in their life as total God things, or even being in conversations where everyone seemed to know what the NIV, ESV, KJV was, except for you. Friends, we do speak Christianese at church. The world around us doesn't know it. They don't care about it. And it gets in the way of us communicating clearly as we should. And so there's no doubt about it. Clarity is king. And so what we need to do is think about the good news of Jesus in ways that are clear in our own minds. And that'll help us to communicate in ways that'll be heard more easily. And one of the ways I've been doing it for a few years now is thinking of the good news of Jesus around four categories: God, me, God, me. And you can flesh that out a little bit. God made it, we broke it, God fixed it, and now we have an opportunity to make a decision. You want to flesh that out a little bit more? Well, God is the loving ruler of the world. We all turned our backs on him and decided to go our own way. And so God, in his love for us, sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sin and overcome death through his resurrection by coming back to life. And now we have an opportunity to put our trust in him to receive everything that he came to give us. No matter who you talk to, what we generally need to do is find out where are they on the spectrum of God, me, God, me. And then take them from there and just help them to take a step in the direction of Jesus. Now, one way I had, by the grace of God, was able to do this once was in a gym. And I was talking to a guy. I asked him what he did on the weekend. He told me about him going out partying and whatnot. And when he asked me what I was doing, I talked about the fact that I was a Christian. And so I went to church. And then I asked him, are you religious? Do you have any kind of religious background? He told me he was atheist. And so I knew I'm right up the front end of this. And so I said to him, an atheist, really, you believe that everything that you see here just came out of nothing? He said, well, maybe I'm not an atheist. Maybe I'm agnostic. I thought, beautiful, we've moved on then. To get to point two, I said to him, you look at the world around us. It's a mess, isn't it? He said, yeah, it is. I said, do you think if everyone did the right thing, do you think the world would be in a decent place? He said, I think it would be a good place to live in. I said, well, the Bible tells us that the reason why the world is a mess is because we have gone and done our own thing. And the result of that is the world as we know it, under sin and death. And then I was able to go on to let him know what God did for us in Jesus to give us an opportunity to be set free from our sin and to be set free from our fear of death. And then got to the last point and was able to say to him, now it's in your hands. What are you going to do about it? Now, another time I was talking to a Roman Catholic guy and I only had an hour with him, but we were face to face. And so I felt like I had plenty of time. And we talked about Mary. We talked about the saints. We talked about the church. We talked about the Pope, about everything. And then in 55 minutes later, I was more confused than he was. And so to try to just cut through it all, I said to him, listen, tell me, in your opinion, how does a person get to heaven? And he looked at me and he said, well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? If we knew the answer to that, we wouldn't have to be having this argument. And I realized that if I would have just come at it with that question right up front, I would have been able to talk to him about that for about 55 minutes. Because he understood that God created the world and that we messed it and that Jesus had come. He was just a little bit confused on those last two things. And so find out where they are and then you'll be able to speak to them where they're at. And notice it's all pretty clear. And these are conversations that we can have with just about anyone. Clarity is king. And that's all primarily as we witness one-on-one, in a sense. But as we know, no Christian is an island. And although Jesus tells us that we ourselves are the light of the world, yet together with the church, we are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And so this brings us to our second point. If our first point is clarity is king, our second point is you're often only as good as your church. And of course, this is in relation to our efforts to tell people about Jesus. And let's not forget that the body of Christ is God's witness to his presence his power and his wisdom in Christ. Right? The world comes to know God as they see us together as his body. And what's more, I don't know if you've heard this statistic, but generally speaking, they say that about 1 out of 10 Christians finds it easy to talk to people about Jesus, who seem to have the spirit of the prophet Jeremiah, who says that it's more painful for him to hold in God's word than it is just to let it out. But the other 90% of us, we need a little bit more help. And the good news about this is that 100% of us should belong to a local church. And we can use the local church to help us to witness to the wisdom, the power, and the presence of the Lord Jesus. And here's the point that I want to come across real clearly here. It's that when you're connected to a healthy church, a good evangelist is simply someone who can drag a person along on a Sunday. And I haven't seen a more effective way to see people come to know Jesus. In fact, I heard of one woman who said that as she was considering joining a church, she first turned up, heard the sermon, and decided, this is a place that I can bring my non-Christian family and friends so they can get to know Jesus. It was a criteria for her as she was choosing what church to make her home. But anyway, there are two clear reasons for me as to why the church is such a powerful witness for us. The first is, you can generally get a friend interested in Jesus, but most people need to hear about him from someone else in order to confirm what they're saying. Now, you might be the first piece in the puzzle for a friend or family member, but it's often a conversation with another friend at church who they're able to relate with, a pastor who preaches a sermon better than you can explain it, that often gets a person over the line. That's the first thing. People need to hear about Jesus from someone else in order to confirm what they're saying. And the second point kind of ties on to that, and that is that any fool can get brainwashed. But we've got to remember that there is credibility in numbers. Now, some time ago, I was listening to 2GB on the radio, and there was an ad for Australian Pensioners Insurance Agency. Because I'm not quite 50, I normally tune out at this point. But I heard them boast about the fact that they had 700,000 members. And then the advertisement meant something along the lines of, could 700,000 people be wrong? And when I heard that, I thought, well, that's a convincing argument. Now, of course, we know the answer to that is, yeah, they can be, and they often are. But still, generally people think, no. And that is because there is credibility in numbers. And so as you're a part of a local church, use that to your advantage. And don't underestimate the fact that when people come and they see people united together around this Jesus that you're trying to communicate, he's a powerful witness in and of itself. I had a friend of mine who, he asked me if I could go and do some training with him. And I wasn't really keen for it at the time. And so I said to him, I'll tell you what, I'll come and do some training with you. This is, you know, exercise and whatnot. I said, but one day a week, you come over my house and we do a Bible study together. And this bloke had had a few drinks by that stage. And so he committed to that. And then the next week, I held him to it. And as I showed him Jesus from the Bible, it was something for him that was radically different to what he grew up with. But he didn't believe what I was saying. But when I brought him along to church, he realized at that point that at least he began to consider that perhaps I hadn't lost it, but that he was the one who was lost. Because together with the church family, it seemed as if I had found something that he didn't have. And he went on to give his life to Jesus by the grace of God. Friends, when connected to a healthy church, a good evangelist is simply someone who can drag a friend along on a Sunday. And so we get to point three as we think about getting him along to church. Now, sometimes you can just invite a person along to church having no prior conversations. And because we have opportunities to do this, I ended up getting these business cards made up with our church logo on one side and details of where our church is at with a little space where I can leave my number. And you can just give them to people. Think of creative ways like that to invite them along to church. But most of the time, if you want to invite someone along to church, you've got to be prepared to do a little bit of groundwork and realize that talking to people about Jesus, even if you're talking to friends about Jesus, we're talking about the things of God. So we're talking about life and death stuff, and this is pretty deep. And I reckon as far as conversations go, it's kind of on the verge of intimate. And so to even begin a conversation or to think that you're in the position to invite someone along to church to consider these things, I think we've got to show that we care. And at the same time, we've got to be bold. Now, you've got to care because unless you do, you'll never end up speaking to the heart and mind of a person to get them thinking about life and death to the depth that Jesus does. But that's where we've got to get to, and we can do it just by showing an interest in people's lives. Now, when I first came to Jesus, I was working full-time as an electrician, and I was in and out of people's houses, sometimes 5 or 6 houses a day, and I would go in and generally have no conversation that would be below the surface of, how you going, how's the weather, and that's about it. When I came to know Jesus, I started taking an interest in people, and I was surprised how many times I would be in the middle of fixing a person's PowerPoint and they'd be behind me talking to me in tears because I was interested enough to ask them where they came from, why they left, what their family situation was like, how they're relating, and how they're just getting along with people in their immediate spheres of influence. Friends, it is a powerful thing to have compassion and to care for someone. Often we don't. It's something that I want to encourage you to pray about, because when you care, doors open up. I mean, just recently at church, we baptized a set of twins, 2 women. And when we asked them what their testimony was, how they came to know Jesus, she said, well, we had a tap in our home that was leaking. And so I rang the real estate and told them I needed a plumber, and they sent this guy out. And while he was fixing my tap, he invited me along to church. She came along to church and she said, I found what I'd been looking for my whole life. So I invited my twin sister along, and then she found what she'd been looking for her whole life. And it all opened up because this one plumber cared enough to want to speak to her on a level that would generally be out of bounds to anyone else. And friends, like I said, once we start talking at that level, doors just swing open. And you'll realize that the prayer that we need to be praying is not a prayer for opportunities, but a prayer for clarity and courage to speak the name of Jesus into those conversations. Right, and so we've got to care, but at the same time, we've got to be bold. Now, you know, Jesus says that no one puts a light underneath a bowl and hides it away. He said they bring it out so that people can see the light, and that is see Jesus living through you, and that has got to be our attitude. Now, Charles Spurgeon was a 19th century English preacher, and he said something that's kind of stuck in my throat, but I think it's true. He said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And I think that's true so long as we define missionary as someone on a mission. I've already mentioned that not everyone's going to have this gift of being able to talk to Jesus at the drop of a hat, and that's fine. But everyone is called to put their hand up and say, I know where I'm going when I die, because Jesus has given us a way out and I've taken hold of it. But if you're anything like me, you've got to pray for the courage to even say that much. And it's not that you might make a mess of your witness from time to time. I guarantee you, you will. But I reckon every time I've ever had the right thing to say in a conversation, it's because I've messed it up at least 5 or 6 times. That is, messed it up or said nothing at all. And then I've been able to replay those mistakes over in my mind until I finally got it right and prayed to God for the courage to actually speak the next time the opportunity came up. There's one businessman who I was talking to about a woman who he led to Jesus. And when she asked him about his faith, he simply said to her, look, I don't have all the answers, but this guy Jesus, he rose from the dead and he had a lot to say about this stuff. Why don't you just come along to church with me on Sunday? And that was it. She heard the good news about Jesus, spoken through the pastor. She saw the community together as a witness of the wisdom, the power and the presence of God. And she was sold. We've got to make sure they hear the good news. And it's true that some of your friends will think you're strange and others won't want to talk to you anymore. But as Christians, we've got to remember that when our friends, our family, our community, when they push us to the outside of the crowd that we used to enjoy, God says that it's out there that Jesus meets us. Because in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament of the Bible, it says Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And it goes on to say there, so openly profess his name. And we know, friends, in the end, when you're standing before him and all your friends and family are nowhere to be seen, the only thing that'll matter on that day is whether you stood with him while you were alive. And we've got an opportunity to do that as we make room for him to speak words of life through us to his people. So brothers, pray that God will help you to be clear in what you believe so that you can genuinely care and have the courage to open your mouth and get them at least along to church. Because that's how we'll see God in action as we meet the risen Lord Jesus as he rules through his word, by his spirit and among his people. And friends, I commend you to his service. In Jesus' name. And let's now pray that God would equip us and enable us to do just this and to serve him as we go about our day. Father God, we want to thank you so much that we have good news to share. God, we want to thank you that the spirit that you've given us is not one of timidity, but of power, of love, self-control. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be clear in our own minds about what you've done for us so that we'll be able to share that with friends and family. And we pray that as we do, Lord, your spirit would be at work changing hearts and minds so that the fruit of what we're all learning here will have a ripple effect among our communities as we see more and more people come to see the face of God in Jesus. And we pray this with confidence because we pray it in his name. Amen.